It's now our privilege and our opportunity to listen to the much-needed words of exhortation to be presented to us by our brother Mark Snoblin.
Thanks, Brother Dan, and good morning, everyone. Partway through Brother Mike's exhortation last week, I realized that my exhortation this morning, some of the things I was going to say were going to be an extension of what he was saying, in part because I already had an idea of what I was going to say this morning based on the readings found in Romans, but also because I identified with what he was saying. I realized when he said that it is much easier to enter the race than to finish it. And I guess if I was to identify with that statement more accurately, I would replace that phrase with, it's much more difficult to finish the race than it is to enter it. I think for me, anyway, that's because of my age. I'm middle-aged. I think that's probably the first time I've admitted it publicly. It's funny, I have at least a mental image of myself. I think about my appearance. I have an idea of how I should feel. I know that when I look in the mirror, that image is not the same person. I think the mental image I have of myself is still someone who's probably about 30 or 35 years old. So it's a humbling realization, because I guess I'm at the age where the finish line in that race is much closer than the starting line behind me, and I think that's very humbling. In reality, the true finish line is at the same point in time for all of us, though, isn't it? It's just that for most of us, that race is a lot longer. The finish line is a lot, takes longer to get to. When the race begins, we do have a high level of energy and optimism, don't we? We're prepared. I realized as Sean was just speaking that the things I'm saying this morning might be a bit of a juxtaposition to the energy and the enthusiasm that the Truth Corps brings, but it is a reality as we run this race. When we start out, we're ready. We've got our water bottle filled with water. We've got our energy bar ready to go. We've done our stretching routine. We've got a plan of how we're going to tackle this race. We have an idea of how it's going to go. And then it begins. And it is easier at the start. You know, you think, I can do this. And then, of course, as the race goes on, reality starts to set in, doesn't it? The breathing becomes a little bit deeper. Those hills that, you know, didn't seem so bad at the beginning get a little longer, get a little steeper. It's more challenging, doesn't it? Your energy level decreases. You're not so optimistic. That water bottle is now empty, thrown in a ditch somewhere along with the wrapper for your energy bar. So much for your plan. And then you realize that you may only be halfway through. That's the humbling realization. And that's when I think the concept of endurance actually replaces the ideals of energy and optimism. And what makes it harder, of course, is that our ability to endure actually diminishes as we age and as the finish line becomes closer. Life does have its joys along the way, of course, but it seems the challenges we face can add up sometimes and outweigh the joys, and our ability to be resilient decreases. You know, it's like when we say when you're already run down or you're weak, it's much easier to catch a cold or to catch a flu. I know for me, the one word that sometimes sums up how I feel, not to be too negative, but it's the word weary. You know, sometimes I just feel tired. I feel like I just need to put everything aside and breathe. But thankfully, this brings to mind the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, which I think have more meaning each passing day. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So thankfully, Scripture does provide comfort an encouragement. Scripture tells us that if we are weary, we can find rest. Scripture tells us that there will be challenges that we will have to endure. And when we do, it will make us stronger. And that we can finish the race if we remain focused and faithful. There is value in enduring. Now, much of this encouragement that we find in Scripture is provided by the Apostle Paul, someone who, of course, has run the race before us and endured. And his advice is valuable. You know, if you want to learn how to run a marathon or get advice on how to run a marathon, you would probably ask someone who's run a marathon. Their advice would be valuable. If you want the kind of advice and encouragement on the level of endurance that leads to life everlasting, Paul is certainly an authority. And he gives us this encouragement in our reading today in Romans. But before we go there, I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's begin there. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll begin partway through verse 1. Where we're exhorted to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance or endurance the race marked out for us. And this race really is a marathon, isn't it, for most of us? A lifelong race. And although the race is marked out for us, it has its twists and turns and bumps along the way. And these challenges, of course, are compounded by our sinful nature and its desires. It can be difficult. Sometimes we can struggle to catch our breath. The exhortation here is that it is a race that we can finish if we remain steadfast in our faith and patiently endure to the end, as difficult as it can be sometimes. And Paul certainly is an example of this. The definition of endurance is to undergo hardship without giving in. By this definition, Paul certainly has the credentials. Think about everything that he had to endure. He spent many nights in prison. He was beaten countless times. He often went without sleep. He was often hungry and thirsty. He spent many weeks on the open ocean. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. When he was stoned outside the city of Lystra, his reaction was truly remarkable and truly typified endurance. He was stoned and left for dead. And what did he do? Well, he got back on his feet and carried on. And that action defines enduring precisely, to undergo hardship without giving in. A remarkable example of endurance. When he reminded the Corinthians of everything that he had endured in 2 Corinthians 11, he concluded, "Who is weak? And I do not feel weak." You know, our hardships pale in comparison to his, especially when you consider that most of what he had to endure was because of his desire to spread the gospel. It was for others. It makes our reason for endurance far simpler. But we still have much to endure. Everyone does. Think about the witnesses that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the verse before. They're witnesses of faith, of course, but they're also witnesses of the value of enduring. And really, the two are intertwined, aren't they? Faith is defined at the beginning of chapter 11 as being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. So if we faithfully trust in God and in what he has said and promised, it produces in us a confidence in the future. It makes it a reality, and that, I think, helps make endurance possible. So in Hebrews 11, we're reminded of the men and women who not only typified the definition of faith because they believed in God and saw the future as a reality, but also remained faithful in spite of all the difficulties and all the challenges that they faced in their lives. And their lives were not easy, but they endured. They endured all the hardships that they faced and any tests of their faith. They're certainly witnesses of that. And so they will receive their reward. And that's why we're being exhorted in the first couple of verses of chapter 12 to consider their example. Because we're running the same race with the same reward. So should we expect that our lives would be easy and not require endurance? You know, we're not being asked to build an ark in the middle of nowhere as Noah was, or sacrifice a son like Abraham, or to be sold as a slave like Joseph, or to stare down a hungry lion, or to be put in prison, to be tortured, to be stoned, to lead a stubborn nation through the wilderness for 40 years like Moses did when he could have been enjoying a life of privilege somewhere else. But what the author is asking us to do is consider those who have endured these things, to consider what they endured and overcame when our lives call for endurance. And also we're reminded here to consider our Lord. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is not only an example of endurance, but he also gives us hope. He's made that hope a reality. And this is something that Paul develops back in Romans chapter 5, which we read this morning. So let's turn back there now to Romans chapter 5. And we'll read verses 1 to 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance or endurance, endurance, character, and character, hope. Now, the two statements that stood out for me when reading these verses, and always do, beginning end of verse 2 and beginning of verse 3, where Paul says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. It's a little harder to accept the second statement, isn't it? But Paul recognized that if his hope was to be realized, that he would need endurance. And he also realized that suffering can actually provide endurance, but only if you overcome. Remember, by definition, you only actually endure if you haven't given in to the hardship. Paul knew that the more he overcame, the more he endured, the greater a hardship he would be able to endure in the future. And that would produce a character appropriate to the realization of his hope. So the hardships we face may not compare to what Paul endured, but they can still be very real to each one of us. But if we face them and endure, we'll be stronger as a result. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said that he delights in hardships and difficulties and weakness, because when he is weak, then he is strong. There's something more, isn't there? Enduring isn't easy. It wasn't easy for Paul. He had his moments when he was weak. But in those moments, he gained strength, because it was in those moments that he would have been brought closer to God. If we don't face hardship, if we don't face challenges, we're less likely to need the strength that God can give us. And that strength made Paul believe that he could endure anything. He told the Philippians, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So Paul didn't really get his strength from within. He didn't boast in his accomplishments, did he? We know that he was given a thorn in the flesh, and that thorn was given to keep him from being proud of his accomplishments. It was something that he prayed about, something that he prayed could be removed, but it wasn't. The answer that God gave him was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul understood that God wasn't dependent on him as much as he was dependent on God. Paul ultimately received strength and peace, he says in these verses in Romans chapter 5, from the grace of God. Because God has done for each one of us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We can endure. That's not enough. He's given us something that supplies our biggest need, our need to be reconciled to him. We have no strength, no power to endure, no hope without the grace of God, which we know is a free gift, something that we don't deserve, something that we don't earn, but it's freely given. Verse 6 of Romans 5. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That gift of grace is Jesus himself. Someone who can identify with our struggles, our needs. He endured. He was tempted. He had enemies. He was forsaken by his friends. He was beaten, laughed at, nailed to a cross. And he knew it was going to happen. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told that he agonized over what was before him. But he overcame. He endured. And he gave us something that we can't achieve alone. He shed his blood so that we might have hope beyond our present struggles. So as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 3, "Let us consider him so that we will not grow weary and lose heart."